Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
It's amount of growth. Okay, so we started saying that you ought to grow spiritually as a Christian. You have to grow. And remember something, you know, some people are just wasting time and playing with their life. They think, those of us that are serious with Christianity, we have time. But the thing is, if you're a Christian and you're not serious about your growth, you are doing yourself. Why? Because when you leave this world and you get to heaven, things will not change miraculously. So many people don't know that. They think by the time you get to heaven, my love for God will be stronger. No, it won't. It's the same life. Listen, are you in this place?
Yes, sir.
If we were going to live a different life there, then maybe that would have been possible. But it's the same life we live now that we live in heaven. And we walk by faith, not by sight. So what you have not started experiencing here by faith, you're not going to experience there. Seeing Jesus in all his glory will not change your emotions towards him. Do you know there were people who saw Jesus and then killed him? Can you imagine that? So he says, no, they were not disciples. But I know one disciple that betrayed him. And he was so good to that disciple. And he won that disciple. He always talked about what that disciple would do. Do you know the day that Judas was going to betray Jesus? Jesus said, go and do what you want to do. And he knew. And he did not cry. He didn't say, you have caught me, I'm sorry. This was after they had started asking him, is it I? Then Judas came, is it I? Jesus said, that thing you want to do, go and do it. Guess what? He left. He must have been listening to last Sunday's message. Yes, sir. He left. He went to gather the people. That's what the Bible says. He went to tell the chief priest, bring your men. Let's go. And his mind was not shaking. He was going. He told them, the one that I'll kiss is the one. And his mind was not shaking. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It just shows how much thinking that when you see Jesus, things will change. How untrue that thought is. When he saw him, he actually ran to meet him. He said, hey, master. He didn't even go like he came to betray him. Like, this is him, master. This is him. No, he went like a friend. Said, hey, master. And then Jesus came out and he said, who are you seeking? Or whom seek ye? He said, Jesus of Nazareth. You know, John, are you listening to
me? Yes,
John really emphasized, wanted us to know that Judas, something happened to Judas. All right? Because Jesus said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. No, Jesus said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. The Bible says, John mentioned that Judas was with them. So he had Jesus and his group, and Judas had betrayed him. He was with them. And immediately he said, I am he. They all did what? Fell, including Judas. When he got up, did he change his mind? No. You know he didn't really think they'll kill Jesus. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
He didn't really think they'll kill Jesus. Do you know? Do you know?
Yes, Pastor.
He wanted to play a fast one. He had heard the prodigal son. He had listened to Jesus say it. So his plan was to do what he wants to do and then come back for forgiveness. All right? That was his plan. He didn't think Jesus would die. I mean, this was Jesus, the same one who called Lazarus from the grave. He cannot die. So his plan was just get the money, come back and say, I'm sorry, after Jesus had escaped, or probably travel. The Bible says when he saw that truly Jesus was about to die, he was repentant. He went to meet them. He said, please take your money. I have betrayed an innocent man. They said it's blood money. People who gave him the money, they said it's blood money. I said all of that to say that One of the reasons we come to church and we are serious with God is to learn and to master walking by faith. Because in heaven, you walk by faith. It's not about sight. It's not about seeing Jesus. If you have not seen him now, and you're not focused on him, you're not passionate about him, don't think when you get to heaven, that passion will come from. From where? Where would it come from? Student. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right. So as a Christian, you have to grow. Grow in your knowledge of the Word of God. Grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Know him as a person beyond the topic. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Know him. And not remain in one place. And we said one of the signs of growth is communicating right. One sign that you're growing is that you begin to learn how to talk. Right?
Yes, Pastor.
Learn how to talk right, not just talk. Anybody can make noise. But how to talk right, how to say the right words. The Bible says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a what? Perfect man. That means your words are not against the word of God. Your thoughts are not against the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because you must think it before you say it. So you measure every time. When you get back home, you think. You met someone, want to visit someone to talk about something. When you get back to your hostel or you're on your bed, you think, did I mistalk? Did I mishear? Did I put myself in trouble now? Did I talk correctly? When you realize I talked correctly, you're growing. Are you saying it? The word of God is influencing the way you talk, the way you respond to people. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Another sign of growth is being given responsibility. When you grow up, you can handle responsibilities. Are you in this place? Yeah, you can. When I was young, I wanted to wash plates. They said, no, I refuse. I wish I had just remained where they put me. They said, no. I said, no, I want to wash plates. And I successfully poured water everywhere. Did not wash any plates. And thank God, did not break any plates. But why did they not want me to wash? Because I was small. When I grew up, I didn't need to beg anymore. It was a consciousness. You wake up, you go and wash plates. Right? I didn't need to beg anymore. Because I had grown, I could handle responsibilities. Are you saying it? I could handle what I was given. And so one sign that you're growing is that you begin to handle responsibilities. Spiritual responsibilities for spiritual growth. Physical responsibilities for physical growth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God can trust you and you can do well. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And in handling responsibilities, you have to learn to follow instructions. So last month was our month of instruction. Who's going to give a responsibility when you cannot follow instructions? Let's say you are an usher. So all ushers should be in church by 7 p.m. So we see you walking like this. What's the time? 9 o'clock. Would anybody take you seriously henceforth? No. You're still a child. Are you saying it?
Yes, Pastor.
Still a child. Okay, but those are physical instructions. But the sign that you're growing is that you begin to keep instructions in the Word of God. And so last Sunday, we learned about aspects of growth, things that you ought to do. But these things are actually instructions that God said you should do, like going to church, right?
Yes,
it's an instruction. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Say, don't forsake it. That means you might have something else you want to do. Don't leave church to do that thing. That means you are forsaking church. God says, do this often as we see the day approach it. That means gather more often so that you are not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. This is what he's trying to say. The more you stay away from your fellow believers, the easier you can excuse the wrong thing. Do you know?
The more you stay away from your fellow believers, the easier you can do the wrong things and not feel it. And then the Bible says you become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So much so that something is wrong, but you're not agreeing. Why? Because you have stayed far for so long. So he says, listen, the day is coming. Listen, you should not be so fervent. And then when the day comes, you're no longer fervent. He says, the day is coming. So as often as you can, when you see your brethren coming together, go and stay there. Say, don't forsake. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's an instruction. If you're growing, you keep the instruction. You cannot be sleeping somewhere and know that people are gathering somewhere. No, Jesus said on that last day, two will be on the bed. If you're sleeping somewhere, who knows? So no, I'm going to work. He says two will be on the field. Two will be grinding. That's a workplace. He didn't say, because I see it in films a lot. When I found, I said, can you imagine these guys? He didn't say two will be in the church, one will go. He didn't mention church. Mention house, mention work, not church. In the church, everybody will go. Praise the Lord. Check it. You mentioned church. Said house, work, but not church. Because you're in the right place.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When he said they'll go, the disciples asked him, where, master? He said, where the eagle is, they'll be gathered. This is the gathering of the saints. And he's here.
Yes.
So how can two or three be gathered together and he's there, and then we are going, and then we don't go? The one we are going to meet is here. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, so if you're growing, you'll be in the house of God. Don't give excuses. Someone says, I want to pray. Many people are just... It's on Sunday morning you want to pray and spend time with God. Because Saturday you are busy. You want to start your week. You have some people that will say it and they sound so spiritual. They say, now I want to pray. Every Sunday morning I pray. I pray for 4 hours straight. I pray on Sundays. You have some folks, do you have any local assembly? No. But I pray. I listen to the word. I listen to messages on Sunday. Let me tell you something. Those messages would not be possible if people did not go to church. Are you seeing it?
Yes.
So it's left to you, there'll be no message. Obviously, if it's people that went to church that made the message, then the message is not for those that should be in church. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
The message is for every other day when you're not in church. So you listen. If you have grown, these are signs of someone who has grown. Be gone, these thoughts. I love Jesus. But don't belong to any local assembly. That's mental love. He will soon cheat on Jesus. Just wait. Because his love is mental. He's not submissive to anybody, but I love Jesus. Trying to deceive people. If you're growing, you have a local assembly, you'll be committed there. You'll be found there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because God said you should. Someone says, is that the only reason? Yes, and that's good enough. So that church you're going to, what are they giving you? He says, it's not about what they are giving me. God said I should be there. How can God tell you to be somewhere and then you not agree to go? Do you know more than God? No. So one sign you're growing is that you're doing what God said you should do. Right? Yeah. Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord? I don't do what I say you should do. Then he said on that day, we say, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? That's the guy that refused to go to church and he's praying in the morning. So now he's charged, go and cast out devils, but it does not belong to a local assembly. But Jesus said, what should he do? Be in a local assembly. Praise the Lord. All right, so you're growing. So you tell your friends, you have some folks that, you know, they try to argue with you. No, someone who is growing will be in church. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So he says, but I'm so tired. Let me tell you something. Serving God when you're comfortable is not true service. Not in this place.
Yes, Pastor.
I'll get to that. This idea that you must be comfortable and not feel tired before you go to church. Who are you trying to deceive? God? Why not stand with him? That even if in your body you feel like not going, but you honor him enough to be there. Why not? That's true growth. Beyond your physical senses. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Then we said praying. You remember on Sunday? Praying. That's an instruction. Say pray without ceasing. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not faint. See, he didn't mention women. So we are all okay now. Men. But do you know the irony? Women pray a lot. If you're going to, if it was by gathering prayers, women probably pray more than men. But Jesus said men. Of course, you know, he was talking about everybody. Because the example he gave was a woman going to disturb. See, it had to be a woman. Even Jesus could not give an example of a man. It was a woman going to disturb a judge. But then you pray. You wake up in the morning, you don't feel like praying. Let me tell you something. It's not every time you feel like praying. In fact, 90% of the time, you don't feel like praying. But a time will have to come in your life where feelings are inconsequential. Are you in this place? Yes. When I wake up, I pray. It doesn't even occur to me to feel it. It's not something in my consciousness should I feel. Eh? Then when I'm praying, I now feel it. Oh, thank God. Oh, that's great. But feeling or not, I pray because I should. It's an instruction. It's what I should do. And it helps me too. If you've grown, you'll be praying too. Studying. God told the children of Israel, I told you before, he told them that the manna that came from heaven, they should take just enough for the day. He knew them. So he said, listen, don't take for 2 days. One for 1 day. Trust them. They took. Some rabbis said, look, we cannot be going out every time. Gather for the week. So after they ate for the next day, they went to where they kept it. What was it? Maggots. Worms. Jesus is the word of God. And he said, I am the bread from heaven. He said, this is the bread that man will eat and will live forever. So the word of God is that bread. That means we should take the word of God every day. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
Every day. Every day. Don't store for the next day. But every day you take the word of God. The more you grow, the more you realize Christianity no longer has to do with. You see, you die to self. And when I mean die to self, I don't mean every time you're feeling like dying, every time you're fighting yourself, every time. No, I just mean it just becomes part of you. Are we together?
Yes.
Yourself, you don't think about you. You pray because you should. You study because you should. There's no thought of, do I feel like it? Do I want to? No, you have grown. Are you seeing it?
Yes.
You have grown. Come to my house and my mom tells you to watch this. I don't feel like it. She will grow you that day. Because if you've grown, feeling, when you're doing important things, your feeling don't matter. Are you seeing it?
Yes,
and at times, you have some people, they don't feel like going to work. Because of Lagos traffic, they got back home that day around 2 a.m. But going to work is important. 4 a.m., they've gotten up. You can hear them, I don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like I'm going to quit this job. They won't quit. I'm going to quit this job. I don't feel like doing it. But because it's important, even if they don't feel like it, they'll go to work. The word of God is more important. And so your feeling has nothing to do with it. And the more you go, the more you begin to respond as a soldier. That's where it's getting you to. When you become a soldier, a good soldier. Strong. Go to 2 Timothy now. You're listening to me, right?
Yes.
2 Timothy. 2. Second Timothy 2. Are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
Verse 3.
Should I say I'm there?
I'm there.
Do you not dare say wait for me? All right, verse 3. Let's read together. I want to go. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He didn't say endure hardship or suffer head. Right? We use that excuse to suffer. He said, as a Christian, you will suffer. The Bible says endure. Let me tell you something. Suffering. Something beings put on the status. So true. When God was punishing Israel, that was when they suffered. Are you seeing it? He thought suffering was a sign of punishment. So anytime they did something wrong, he would send pestilence. Are you seeing it? Famine. So they'll be hungry. Because he should not offend somebody that can control food. When they offend him and they have sinned, you will see famine, hunger, war, suffering. When they do well, prosperity. How can it change when Jesus came? No, he said, whosoever believes in should not perish. It's suffering that causes people to perish. So it cannot change. Right now, if you're suffering, it's a sign that something is wrong. If you're following the Lord, you should be prosperous. The only suffering we are allowed to suffer is persecution. And people get persecuted for saying that Christians should be prosperous. They are the ones suffering. You understand that? They say, you should be prosperous. Someone says, no, no. They are persecuting you. You are the one really suffering. That's the suffer here Jesus was talking about. Not that you cannot eat. You cannot afford basic things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh. It says, verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. Be tough. When it's time to pray, do what? Pray. It might be hard, but do it. It says, endure hardness. When it's time to study, study. It might be difficult. He says, endure hardness. When you don't feel like saying you're a success because you just saw a result that was not good, say it. It might be hard, but he says what? Endure hardness. Some people have not thought of it that way. But I'm telling you, look at Jesus. In front of Pilate, you're about to kill him. That is not the time to say you're a king. That's not the time to say you have a kingdom. That is the time to beg. That is the easiest, softest thing to do. Pity for me. Help me. Pilate said, are you a king? He said, you have said it. He said, for this purpose was I born. Don't you love Jesus? That's the person you should follow. Did it feel good to say it physically? Of course not. It says, endure hardness. Even when it's tough, say the right thing. Are you seeing it? I told you on Sunday, he was carrying his cross. And some women were crying. You know, when women cry, they're trying to touch you. They were crying. He said, weep not for me. They just flogged him. I want to get a picture. Because at times, you don't see it in these movies. Movies just crying. He was not crying to the cross, to Calvary. Do you know that? He did not cry. On the cross, you had two thieves, terrible people, that they hung with him. One started insulting him. He was quiet throughout. It was the other one that now defended him. He now said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He cried just once, and that was before he gave up the ghost. Didn't cry, he carried the cross. So when he saw them crying, he said, please, don't weep for me. Weep for yourself. That is a tough man. He says, endure hardness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Endure hardness. So even when things don't feel like the way you have been learning in church, right?
Yes, Pastor.
Don't feel that way. You've been speaking in a car. Sun has beat. Almost everybody has turned dark now. Thanks to Lagos Sun. And you've been speaking the one with AC. And it's not coming. Even when it's tough, it says endure hardness. And keep saying the right thing.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Keep saying the right thing. Are you a success?
I'm a success.
Are you excellent?
I'm excellent.
And your hardness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
No, you have some folk who come to church. Let me just digress. At home or in their class or in whatever, they will come and say, stupid boy, crazy boy, foolish boy, crazy boy, bad guy, crazy boy. In church, say, I'm excellent. It's from the village. Because how is it easy for you to say the wrong things about yourself? But when it's time to say the right things, your mouth is now strong. What happened? You can say bad guy, mad guy. But you can't say I'm excellent. Ah! It's serious. But every village thing, catapult, missile, belt, I destroy. Goodness and mercy chasing after me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Someone say, that's catch me already. So even if you went somewhere and they slammed the door at your face, endure hardness, goodness, and mercy is chasing after me. I'm highly favored. Even after they slammed the door at your face. The Bible says, Paul writing to the church, said, you have not struggled against sin so much that it got to your blood. Say, you have not resisted sin that much. What does that mean? This is what he's trying to say. You've not resisted opposing forces so much that it nearly killed you. Jesus did. And he still gave the good confession. Even in that opposition. I'm thinking, remembering Paul. Before, I think Felix was the new Festus, the governor, King Agrippa. He was talking, this first was a governor. King Agrippa was a king. Do you understand? Royalty. And Festus called him and said, all right, tell us this your gospel. Because even Festus does not understand why this man is still in jail. Do you understand? He didn't know for what he's hearing. He didn't do anything wrong. But he's still there. So Festus said, oh yeah, I don't understand how to solve it. He said it in front of Paul. He said, so I called the king so he will hear your case. Maybe he will tell us what we can send to Caesar. So talk. And while Paul was talking, Festus, not understanding anything about the Jews, said, Paul, your much learning has made you mad. Why? Because he was saying nonsense. He didn't sound right. He said, you have become mad. Then Agrippa said, in this short while, you want to convince me to be a Christian? Paul said, I wish all men were as I am, except for these bones. Look at that consciousness. This is a prisoner before people that can help him and can save him. And he said, I wish you were like me. Because it wasn't about these bones. He knew who he was. And the Bible says, you check it. While he was in Caesar's house, when I took him to Rome, everybody that was there, he got them born again. Why? He thought he was the most privileged person in that place. So endure hardness. Even if it's tough, even if things are not going the way you want them to go, don't change your confession about yourself. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Don't, you know, I was thinking of something. Do you want to hear?
Yes, Pastor.
And when I said it, I thought of it. And I thought, hey, this is serious. In the book of Isaiah was talking about the promises of the Christ. All right? And he said, the zeal of the Lord would do what? Would accomplish it, would perform it. Okay? Talking about the Christ. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He said, the zeal of the Lord will accomplish it. And then I used to see that. I used to be very inspired. And I still am inspired. Then I just thought, Isaiah said that. It took years before Jesus came. What sort of zeal? does God have? It's not the same one we have or what we think. Because when you hear zeal, you think, prrr, zzz, prrr. Do you understand? 1 minute Jesus is born, dies, resurrect. It took years, but it was still his zeal. And he did not change his confession. My people, I said my zeal, but actually, just be patient, it will take long. No. It was still his zeal. And Jesus hasn't come now, the second time. But we are still living in that zeal. Because not everything must be interpreted with the human way of thinking. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So endure hardness. Tell anybody, endure hardness.
Endure hardness.
Tell anybody, say the right thing.
Say the right thing.
Even when it's hard.
Even when it's hard.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But let's finish this. It says, are you bored?
No.
You're listening to me, right?
Yes,
yeah. I remember a story I heard of Pastor Young Cho. And when he was done teaching, he said, all the board members in church, please wait behind. And so they all waited behind. But then he saw one man. He said, I said, all the board members in church, you're not a board member. You know, board member, B-O-A-R-D, member of the church board. You know the bomb? He said, no. The guy said, no, actually, I'm very, very bored with this church. All right. Look at it. 3. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. If you're growing, you will not entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. There is something called Christian consecration that would never disappear with time. As a Christian, you're a saint. Are you in this place? Saint means you're consecrated. You've been called to live a holy life. There should be a marked difference between you and an unbeliever. A few years ago, I was talking with some of you. If you saw a Christian, you will know. Are we together? There were some places they did not go to. There were some things that they did not say. There were some arguments you will not hear their opinion because they did not have one. They were not allowed to have one. They were Christians. They were different. Now, did some people take it to an extreme? Yes. You had some folks who then say, okay, guys must sit in this place and ladies must sit in this place. But as in every good thing, you would always have those who think fervency is in pushing it to the extreme. But that did not take away the fact that as a Christian, there was some consecration about your life. There were some things that you were not allowed to say. Then they started calling Christians holier than thou. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Were you born then? S.U., holier than thou. It was sort of derogatory. Are we together?
Yes.
But you know what? They should have taken it with pride. Then it became something that people became ashamed of. Say, I'm not holier than thou. Who says so? If an unbeliever calls you holier than thou, you say, yes, I agree. He calls me a holy nation. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
Why would somebody that you're trying to help call you holy and you disagree? Then you're not helping the person. You have nothing to offer. Are we together?
Yes,
the holier than thou talk was to make Christians feel bad about who they were. What should they have done? Be proud about it. Say, I'm holy. Only the holy will see God. You better be holy too. There's some things we just did not say. Now you hear something that is happening in the world. Maybe a conversation about a particular musician or a particular movie. And you have Christians giving their opinion. One day, I'll really talk about this. I just think, what happened? Once you have an opinion, why do you even know it so much to give an opinion? Why? Some things we just did not say then. And I was born then. A Christian looked somehow. Of course, like I said, we took it to the extreme. Are we together? Christian had his belt like this. They call him bro. It's recently. Recently, they sacked bro and sis title. If not before. Sis, isn't it? Sis. It was normal. All right? Am I supposed to go back there? No, I don't want anybody to call me sis, please. All right? Because those things did not really matter. I'm talking about the character of the Christian. that consecrated lifestyle that a Christian should have had. When you're born again, you should show. Are we together? You should show. Some things you don't say, even as a joke. Some things you don't have an opinion about. It's a popular movie, everybody has an opinion. You too. Christian angle of this film. Few years ago, I was born then, do you understand? So this is not a long time ago. Christians do not have angles on films. We were too busy saving soul. Are we together? With big Bible. With a big Bible, too busy saving souls. Everything here in Christian about souls. God bless you, and souls. Now you have an angle about a movie. You have an angle about what's happening, the musician. You have what angle? It says, don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Don't get carried away. God did not call you to give a Christian angle. You cannot have a light angle to darkness. Light is that which exposes that this thing is dark. It's not by going to darkness and trying to have an angle. It just shows up. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm talking about the mindset, the character. It says, don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. You see? Then everybody was waiting for the rapture. The Christian was focused on the Lord. You're not found in the wrong place. One movie came out. It's not godly. In that movie, they're encouraging fornication, which is a sin. But while they're encouraging fornication in the movie, you are crying because you're so touched. You have forgotten that there's a hell. Not for you, but for those engaging in fornication. Do you know fornication is still a sin? Guess what? It has not been upgraded, neither updated. Are we together? Fornication is still wrong. No matter how much you try to customize it, it's still wrong. And these are the things that make God angry. That's what Paul said. That's why the wrath of God is upon those that are disobedient. Now, maybe you are not fornicating, but you're watching and buying films where fornication is being encouraged. And at the end of the film, they did not even marry. They say, they love you. Yeah, I'm so touched. Christian, you are the light of the world. So henceforth, if you're here, any fornication, out, out, out. Every spirit of fornication, in movie, in music, out. Not for you. Before you use coolness, swaggerlicious Christian, and find yourself where you should not find yourself on that last day. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. Those things are still not allowed in God's book. Sin is still sin. It says, don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. Let me tell you something. You can be righteous, prosperous, supernatural. In fact, that is it. There is no sin in supernaturalness. You should be. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, someone puts an opinion or a story that happened that you don't know if it really happened, but it glorifies the wrong things, but you want to give your own advice to the lady that it happened to, which you're not sure it even happened. You're a Christian. You're sanctified. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
When I was seven, now I served in Lagos. Lagos was a hot, hot camp, the best camp. Not like Delta. Or Damaturu, Yobi. Or Ibadan. Lagos was the best camp. All right? I'm the one talking, so whatever. All right? But then every evening, they used to go for these social nights. All right? So you had to go. Well, me, I didn't used to go because I wanted to catch up on my praying that I did not pray in the afternoon. So, and then sleep too, so I can wake up early. So while they go and do all the things, by 10, can you imagine 10? I can sleep till around 2. I was enjoying life. When they called, wake up, wake up, I'm up. The ones who went to enjoy, they are shouting, what is this? This is wrong. And I kept thinking, don't you know you were coming to camp? What do you expect? But that's my point. So there was this Saturday, there's the real social night. The honest, all the other ones, they are preamble. The real one, and they had popular musicians come. Really popular musicians come for that night. And so my bunkmate was like, that she would go. There is no way she would not go. They say, I know my Bucky refused to go, but I'm not seeing it, all. I'm not seeing Bucky's here sin. I'm not seeing it. I was just looking at her like this. He said, it's not a sin. She kept shouting it. Why? Because she was being convicted. Because she knew I was not going. And I did not go. I slept well. No apologies besides. This is not, I wanted to go. I wanted to go. No. I have what the world needs. That has been my consciousness since when I was in school. You cannot make me want darkness. My point was this. She knew. I didn't even say anything. I was not even talking. I was just on my own, lying down, minding my own business. But why did she say that? To see if I would tell her it's okay. But I still did not say anything. And I was not going. What if? What if me too, I was shouting, God forbid. Because there is the consecrated life of a Christian. Are we together?
Yes, Pastor.
Your call to consecration. Jesus did not sin, do you know?
Yes, Pastor.
I know we talk about grace. Even if you did something wrong, God's grace is there. The grace primarily was not there to cover if you did something wrong. It was to make you not do anything wrong. That was the idea. Because I've heard people say, it's not about not doing anything wrong. It's that when you do something wrong, it's there to cover. What? Then are we not wasting time like this? Because back then, they also had forgiveness of sins. Are we together?
Yes.
That was not the point. And that not doing something wrong was not when you got to heaven. It was here. That's why Jesus came and lived that life, so you can see it is possible. So don't get entangled. Don't get carried away. You might not tie scarf like this, but let your spirit tie scarf. All right?
It's not so.
Don't explain the wrong things away. You have the wrong song, but you explain in this song, after all, don't you sing national anthem? Don't you sing national anthem? Is it a gospel song? Remind them the second verse of God of creation. It's a twinkle twinkle, don't you rhyme? Is it a gospel song? Listen, when people talk like that, leave them. They are being convicted all by themselves. Leave. Listen, are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You're a Christian. The only thing you know is the gospel. That should be your life. Paul said, I determined not to know anything amongst you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That means they are parting somewhere. Not for Paul. Jesus, he died for you. How did that change? If you're growing, all these weights and burden will fall off. One of the first things I knew I had to stop when I got born again, was stop listening to the wrong songs. I didn't need anybody to tell me. I just knew. You have folks who explain away this thing. Do you know songs are important?
Yes.
In the volunteers training, he said, to be filled with the Spirit, you sing spiritual songs. Songs have a role to play in your being filled with the Spirit. So it matters the kind of songs you listen to and you sing. How can you explain that away? How amazed. I mean, I have some Christian folks be like, block me from seeing your words. I'll still see it. Leave that in. I'll still see it. You have some folks see their status, a musician. I'm telling you, because you know, when you have a Christian contact and they are so hyped about a song, you want to go check it out. The other side is nice. And I'll go and I'll check it out. Not a Christian song. Not by a Christian. In fact, you check the history, the person who sang it has sung or sung anti-Christian stuffs. And they'll call me and be speaking in tongues. But which tongue are you speaking? These things used to be the basics of being a Christian, do you know?
Yes.
But some people came and said, no, you must be fly as a Christian and be cool. And then out the window. Now you go to a cinema, check out. 70% of them are Christians born again in a cinema. The money you're spending there, what's it doing? Is it following the gospel? No. They will give it to people who are opposed to the gospel. Do you know that? Do you know that?
Yes, Pastor.
You have people who fund abortion in the US. Right? You're pushing it. It is all the songs, artists, and actresses who fund these things. How do they get the money? When you have people watching it, and then you find out 70% of people who actually watch this thing. No, at times you see some people, they're not even serious. You see them, they are glorifying this actress and they are saying they are against abortion. But you're the one giving to these people. Before, we didn't even talk about this in the church. As a Christian, you knew where you stood. The red stained banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, the criteria has not changed. God will not say, oh, technology, eh? He saw technology before it happened. And he set his standards already. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word will never fail. That's why I have some folks now. They come, they speak in tongues. Glory! But struggling with bad habits. They are the ones fornicating in secret. They are the ones lying, stealing, killing. No. It says, a good soldier of Christ, don't be entangled. Nothing of the world is in your domain. Jesus said, the prince of this world coming, and he has nothing in me. Nothing. They cannot find anything of the world inside. Nothing. Remember then when my friend got upset with me. Why? She was watching film. I said, look, me, I don't use my laptop to watch film. Don't use my laptop to watch film. She got angry. Yeah, don't worry. I am spiritual like that. Okay?
Yes,
it's my business. So don't use my laptop to watch film. So I changed the password. And she stopped using it to watch film. Very angry with me, but I did not care. And then someone said, what do you do to relax? I had, when I was in school, my predecessor, she was like, what do you even do to relax? Do you watch movies? I said, no. So what did I say? I listen to messages. Plus, I don't even think you watch movies to relax. Because if you're relaxing, but your mind is working. Are you in this place?
Yes.
I said before, after I say it, I'll close. We'll pray and then I'll close. We'll go. You have some guy who has been working from Monday to Friday. He says, this Friday night, I just want to relax. I've been so stressed up. I want to relax. Well, how is he relaxing? He's driving to the movies. He's driving, relaxing. No, he's working. He'll go to the movies. He would watch, he would come back, then he would sleep. It is that sleep that is the relaxation, the one that God ordained from the beginning. If you want to really relax, that's it, sleep. That's it. That's when everything, that's the one Jesus did. That's the one who followed Jesus. That's what we do. But no, now you're relaxing like the world. No. It says, don't be entangled. Wash your hands off. Are we together? Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. They were the ones who invited him after he saved their friend. For Levi, he had already made Levi a disciple. And Levi went to, or invited him to his house. And he went there to get them saved. He was in the opportunity to reach out to others. For Zacchaeus, the same thing. Zacchaeus was the one who invited him to his house. Else, where would you see Jesus? Wilderness, praying, or garden with his disciples. Are you seeing it?
Yes, sir.
But when they invited him, he went. He went even to the Pharisees' place.
But he was different. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So we cannot talk about growth, spiritual growth, without addressing these little things. These are little foxes. Do you understand?
Yes.
But at times when you don't point it out, people think you're saying it's okay. It's not okay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's not okay. Some things you don't say. You're a bro. It might not show physically, but inside. And you're a sis. There's that discipline and restraint and purity that comes with being a Christian that you must express. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Have you learned something today?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, you have. Express purity. Are you a pure person?
I'm a pure person.
No unpure thing for your eye. You don't see the wrong things. You don't care. At times you enter, you're about to enter a room, you hear something. Ah! You remove it. You don't go and say, ah, let me even hear what they are saying, sir, so that I'll know whether it's true or not. And I'll give the Christian a go. No, not for you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Not for you. Some things you don't hear. So you're too pure. You're too holy for that. Someone says, you think you're too holy. Yeah. Yeah. Sanctified. Washed. Holy. Pure. That's you. And it should show. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It should show. No hidden dirt. Maggot in cupboard. Or skeleton in cupboard. Who you are is who you are. Are we together? Yeah. And you're getting better and better. Not just in church, but your whole life is influenced by the word of God. So I'm making progress.
I'm making progress.
Speaking on the topic.